Good afternoon and welcome back once again. This podcast is all about neighbors and stories in East Nashville. The reason that we do this podcast is because we at the church at Lachlan Springs believe that every single person you've ever passed on the sidewalk in your entire life, every single person you've ever come in contact with, bears the imprint of the creator of the universe. They have worth, they have value, they have stories, they have experiences. We want to elevate that. We want to celebrate that. We want to tell some of those stories, specifically some of the stories from people that many of us may know by name or by face here in East Nashville, but don't know anything about them. So my name is David Hanna. I'm the pastor at Church at Lachlan Springs. Every podcast, I'm here with Ronald Gooch. I went first name on you, Gooch.
You did.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here.
You did.
And Gooch, you brought a friend with you this week. Who'd you bring with you?
I did. Before I introduce my good friend, I don't have on sunglasses today.
You don't? That's true. So you're sitting in the dark room and you finally trust us.
Yeah, I trust
you.
It's
going to
be
okay.
Yep. Sometimes I cry, but that's why I wear my glasses. But today I have one of my good friends, Miss Doris Daly, with us. Doris, I don't know how long I've known you now, but I think it was almost instantaneous when we met. Like, yeah, that's my girl. That's my girl. So Doris and I met at, I work down at East Nashville Athletics at Shelby Park, just doing a little bit. And if you've ever had a hamburger or a hot, anything delicious at our beautiful baseball park, it's because of Miss Doris. And if your child has ever messed up the bathroom and went and told on some random lady for getting on to them, it's probably Miss Doris too. How you doing, Doris?
Thank you, Mr. Gooch. Thank you,
David.
David, for letting me be here.
She called me Mr. Gooch.
I like that. You are Mr. Gooch. That's right.
Mr. Gooch. I got to keep it formal.
I like that.
But
now, Miss Doris, I know Gooch always refers to you as Miss Doris. Do I call you Miss Doris? Do I call you Miss Daly?
You can call me Doris. You can call me Miss Daly. It really doesn't matter.
Okay.
As long as it's manable.
I appreciate that. And one of the things I love about what we get to do is I do get to meet people like you, which you and I have been in the same room several times, but I don't know anything about you. So I'm excited to learn about some of your story.
Well, I will tell you, I'm very quiet when I first meet anyone. Mm. I have to deal with you, get to feed you out before I truly open up.
Okay.
Anyone.
Okay.
Because even with Mr. Gooch here, as into how much I want to open up to you.
I appreciate that.
I was born and raised here in Nashville, Tennessee. Graduated from McGavick High School.
Okay.
Did a little bit of college, but figured out I wasn't really ready for college. I moved, I think I live here maybe 15, 20 years now.
15 to, when you say here, you're talking about here in
East.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I moved here. Yeah. I can't really tell you exact year.
It all runs together after a while,
exactly.
Doesn't it?
Exactly. Especially after this tornado, everything runs together. Since I've been here, I have met a lot of great people.
Yeah. Have you been, now I know Gooch has told me you, you work down at the ball fields. What exactly do you do down there? Is it easier to list what you don't do down there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
probably.
Yes, sir. That,
probably.
I don't cut the grass.
There you go. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and everything else you do.
And everything else I do.
Have you been down there all 15 years since you've been here?
No. And I can't really tell you. Yeah. Maybe about 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 or 7. Yeah.
6 years total down there, and it's really helped me come out of myself.
Yeah, sure.
And to also give back, give and take of meeting people, volunteering, enjoying the kids. I love kids, and so.
Well, you get and you nice. Get you could be with a lot of them down there.
Oh, I get to meet a lot of them.
Yeah.
David, Doris and I, you know, Doris, in previous conversations, David and I have interviewed other people, and I think one of our most recent conversations we kind of talked about how our neighborhood has changed.
Oh.
To say the least.
To say the least. Our neighborhood has changed, and a lot of that change, obviously, you know, good or bad, we have lost a lot of the tradition of having, you know, the grandmas and granddads on the front porch who you can go talk to and cut up with. We don't have that anymore. And so for me, why Doris is special to me, and Doris knows we... Well, I feel like, I don't know if somebody, if we got a bird that's dropping notes on the front porch, but Doris will text me when I need to be texted.
She just knows.
She knows. And likewise, and we do the same thing for each other. We just tap in. And so, you know, all of my grandparents are deceased. And I'm not saying Doris is my grandparent. Not at all. But that, what I grew up with, having that person, I've got that in Doris.
Yeah, beautiful.
And so that's my safe spot. I don't know if Doris knows that, but you know, that's my safe spot.
Doris,
blowing me away.
Well, I'll tell you this: Gooch he talks about you all the time. As soon as we started this idea of just telling some stories of people in East Nashville, of important people that are kind of the glue that hold the community together, the first person he talked about was Miss Doris. So I'm so glad I get to sit down with you today. What was it like growing up on your side of Nashville where you were? Over on McGavick, I guess you were on the other side of the river?
I was in South Nashville.
Okay.
J.C. Napier Court.
Yeah, all right.
So, whoo. that's a experience all by itself.
Yeah, sure. Who was your biggest influence growing up?
If for me personally, I have to say my Lord Jesus Christ, because he still has me here today.
Amen. Yeah.
There's a lot of people. I didn't know it was going to get this personal.
That's it's okay. Right. That's okay. Right.
What's always interesting, I think, about stories when we tell them is the perspective in which it comes from.
Yeah, sure.
You know, because everybody's story, good or bad, will draw different emotions. You know, I think this is the purpose of our podcast, is to draw emotion. So, you know, I'm still growing up, and I want Doris to keep crying, but she's one of my biggest influences. But tell us about it growing up, Doris. I know, you know, I'll tell you, David's from West Nashville.
That's right.
Wherever that's at.
You know how we do out west?
On the west side.
West side.
And I'm from the east side, and Doris is from the south side, so.
Your story obviously has a lot of emotion, and I have no doubt there's a lot that we can learn from you and your experiences. I would love to hear just what you want to share about growing up in South Nashville. I can see there's a lot there.
I mainly want to say is there's a stigma that goes on.
Okay.
Or said that a lot of people that lives in public housing, it's always not up to no good. They don't want anything. They want, you know, I don't know how to explain it in words, but I hope you understand what I mean.
Yes, ma'am.
But I'm not that person. There's a lot of things that when my relationship with Ronald Gooch is that I'm out here for the things that he has accomplished. Because what I have grown up in didn't see too much of that. Yeah. It wasn't a lot of what he has accomplished. It was taught or it was said, it wasn't.
There wasn't that
fully explained.
Yeah. Okay.
Or with me, I had high school schooling stuff. I struggled, and it took me 4 years to pass the whole part of the efficiency test. During that time, we had to pass the efficiency test just to graduate.
Okay.
So I admire Mr. Gooch because he did it. And I hope I'm making sense. I'm sorry.
No, you absolutely are making sense. Did you have, and please pardon my ignorance, but one of the reasons that we love to have these conversations is because we have so much to learn. Mm-hmm. And I have so much to learn from you and your story and your experience. So if any question I ask is, they may be born out of complete stupidity because I just don't know. Did you grow up in public housing in South Nashville?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you have some of the examples that Gooch has told us about so many times in your life to kind of show you those next steps in life? Is that kind of what you're talking about?
I only lived with my mother.
Okay.
It was five of us. My mother was a pretty quiet person. She typed it, said what she had to say. That was it. But my family situation, maybe that's what you're kind of getting at.
Yes, ma'am.
As in, my mother was there, but she really wasn't there, if that makes sense.
It does, yes, ma'am.
She mainly was able to make sure that she was providing for us. But it's history in that because her own mother did not raise her.
Sure.
So years of therapy.
Yeah. Amen, hallelujah. Praise the Lord for a good
years
therapist.
Of therapy. She wasn't really able to show me that.
Yeah.
And these tears that I have, it is a sorrow, but I want to say I wouldn't give it for the world. I'm glad I experienced this. I'm glad that I experienced what I experienced because and if I look on the other side of the street, I've been over there too,
yeah.
And I like that experience too. But both our experiences can be merged together if one side is willing to come over to that other side. Mr. Gooch and I were talking about the baseball field down there.
Yeah.
We was, you know, even with me just starting, I don't ask, but you just think and say, why come, you know, this area that it is, why come it's not more black kids down there?
Right.
Than usual. And I was like, well, for me, if I want my child to go play down there, you have to come talk to me. You just can't put signs up and we're going to go down there. No, we're not going to do that. I mean, I wouldn't do that because I don't know you. Okay. I mean, I want to be able to meet someone that's with that organization, not just send my child down there.
So you talk about, gosh, I would love
to unpack in a lot.
There's a lot to unpack here, and there's so much I've got to learn.
Yeah,
just from the few minutes of what you just said. You talk about both sides of the street; they can come together. And Gooch and I have talked a lot about what does it look like for that to happen.
Yep.
I didn't have the opportunity to know you as a child and to be near where you grew up in South Nashville. But where we're sitting right now, we're in the middle of houses that cost $800,000, $1 million, and we're also 10 blocks from public housing. Mm-hmm. So I do have the opportunity today. Mm-hmm. But my confession to you, Miss Doris, is I don't know what to do. Where do we start? If we want both sides of these streets to come together, how do I help?
My thing is about a lot of organizations, churches,
sure,
everything, is that you have to get out there. When they say put your whole armor of God, you got to put your whole armor of God and get out there and knock on these doors and talk to these people.
Yeah.
Because you just, because this is how I feel. If you just going to go over there and just hand them stuff.
Sure.
Okay. It's, I guess I would say that it's more like a, maybe they just feeling sorry. Mm. It's a charity thing. They got it. They can do it. They really don't care. They just feeling pity or I don't know, but they really don't want to get their hands dirty. You got to get your hands dirty to get out there and meet these things. Yes, there's some things that that you're going to be approached with and stuff. You just got to know what to do.
Sure.
If you're scared, take somebody. Take me. I'm in.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm in. Well, you know, the things you're talking about, and you're talking about putting on the armor of God and going down there and knocking on doors, doing absolutely. For a lot of folks, the easiest thing to do is write a check.
Oh, yeah.
The easiest thing to do is fill a backpack with school supplies. And these kids need school supplies. And there are great organizations we can write a check to that are doing them. I'm not saying don't do those things.
Exactly.
What we saw Jesus do was sit at the table with people that didn't look like him and didn't talk like him and didn't act like him a lot of the times.
Mm.
And he's sharing meals. He's sharing time. He's sharing of himself. That's the hardest thing to do.
That is. It's the scariest also with the area that you're asking a person to go into.
Right.
I'm not going to be, you know, to that. But you have to get out there and do your league work to make both communities come together. Because
that's
the only way.
Yeah. No,
it really is the only way.
I wish we could translate body and facial expressions.
I know.
Because
we gotta get some cameras in here.
Because you would really get Doris right now. You would understand that you just gotta do it. I mean, and I think, you know, to Doris's point, and we talk about it a lot. David, you and I talk about it, and I will say, as you know, as I say every time on this podcast, one thing I say, Doris, is God is the greatest. He's the absolute greatest. I'm blessed with the ability and skill to have high-level conversations with people and then also to be able to translate that to people who don't understand that language.
Sure.
Having that versatility, not just me, but you have to be able to translate what is requested of you as a need into an action for people who want to do actions and vice versa. You know, I think like I said, man, I feel like there's a bird that puts a note on my porch when it's like, hey, check on Doris. Mm. You know, hey, call Miss Doris. I'll ride by Doris's house and just blow the horn. I'm not calling. I'm not texting you. I know where you are. You know, if I see the truck, I know where she's at. You know, it was funny because I was like, hey, Doris. She's like, hey, what time I got to be there? I was like, you know, I'll come pick you up. 12:40, I'll pick you up. And we just think sometimes, you know, when we have lunch or coffee with somebody, it's like, hey, meet me at this spot at this time. You drive your car, I drive mine. We just meet there.
Not that easy.
No, it's not that easy, man. Because I told Doris, I said, the church is right down the street, Doris. You know, it's right down the street.
Yeah, you look at a map and that's true. But culturally, it's a world apart. And that's heartbreaking to me as a pastor. But it's also not as easy as just saying it. Yeah. You got to have some skin in the game. You got to get your hands dirty. But But trying to take those first steps proves to just be really complicated. The reality is, when you talk about, and this is my experience, when you talk about the two sides of the street that can come together, there's years, decades, generations of mistrust. That if I mean, you say go out there and knock on the doors. If I start walking through your neighborhood and knocking on doors, the first question is, what are you doing here?
Exactly.
What do you want? What are you?
This white man doing.
Yes, exactly. I mean, sure.
We're going to keep it real.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And having to get over that hurdle is hard.
Well, really, I really feel that after you went over that first hurdle, yep. You pretty much almost warned them. You got their attention.
Okay.
Because it lets them know, oh, he ain't scared to come up here. Mm-hmm. He coming to us.
Yeah.
He's trying to, you are reaching out. Yes, there, like you said, there is a lot of mistrust. Mm. That's why a lot of people, I believe that's why it's a lot of white churches, black churches, yeah. Because it, you know, is.
Sure.
I don't know, but.
And a lot of it is really well warranted. There are a lot of folks in my position that have done a lot of bad things in the name of trying to do good things.
Yeah.
It's not they're all bad people. Most of them are. Most of them are trying to do right, but doing it from a place of ignorance, like I'm in a place of ignorance right now. And it's caused that generations. A mistrust. Of course, we also know there's a lot of other mistakes that have been made that have caused those generations of mistrust. Mm-hmm. But it's real. I mean, it's there. Yeah. And it's created a world where it's not always as simple as just knocking on doors and saying, hey, let's have dinner together. Yeah. So, Gooch, what do we do?
Man, I don't know. We keep people like Doris in the fold for sure.
Isn't that the truth?
When I told you she was my bodyguard. See what kind of bodyguard I got? You know what I'm saying?
I'm not sure if she's keeping you safe or keeping us safe from you.
She's keeping, yeah. Yeah. She's keeping me safe from myself is what she's doing.
Right.
Doris, we do like to get to know people. So, and it's funny because we started softball down at East Nashville Athletics. Yep.
Congratulations on that. Thank got you. Through your first season.
Got
big
through
success.
My first season. Going into my second season tonight.
How is that even? You tonight, can't have two seasons like 3 weeks apart.
Tonight, baby. Yes, sir.
Rest, Gooch. Rest.
170 girls total between
never
two
rest, Miss Doris.
She knows that.
I know that. Mm-hmm.
She knows that. I mean, listen, when we just talked about it, demographically, softball has seen 167 girls, I say that much. 48% of our girls, unlike most youth baseball leagues, are minorities. So black, Mexican, Latino.
Mm-hmm.
So our diversity group is increasing.
Is it because of something you and your team have done? Or did it just work out that way?
It kind of worked out that way. And then also, too, like Doris said, I was going to people that I wanted, and because I can put the stuff on social media and the people that see it are going to see it, but there are other pockets of people, cheerleaders at Shelby Park, Jaguar, whatever, wherever they are, that won't see it. They don't follow our page. So I was intentional about how we, in my own personal social media. So I use that as well too as a platform. So So it's there. So softball starting, but when we kick softball off and I was telling Doris about it, Doris was like, oh yeah, I play softball. Doris, tell us about young Doris.
What position do you play, Miss Doris?
Us about high school Doris. She being shy now.
She doesn't like talking about herself, does she?
I am a huge sports fan.
Are you really? Okay.
Yeah. So you can talk me some sports.
I love it.
I'm it.
I love it.
Even the sports that I don't understand, like hockey, and I watch soccer. You got to be in shape.
You got to be in shape. That's true. That's true.
And no, that's not a sport for me. That's That's too a little bit too physical. Cause you can't, you ain't supposed to get kicked in the chin. So,
did young Doris get into sports at an early age? Is that what made you a sports fan? Do you like to play sports?
And what was that like growing up? I mean, because you and I have conversations about the families and kids over here, mm-hmm. and some of the stuff that we see them say and do. And we look at them like,
ooh, this sounds like it's going to get juicy.
We look at them like, oh my God. So what was it like for you growing up?
Don't name names, Cooper.
Yeah, I won't. Because they might be listening.
I had a fun childhood. Really, yeah. Honestly, living in the public projects, riding in the grocery store baskets and getting inside and going down hills. We are playing baseball. We used to call it fly and bounce.
Fly and bounce.
Okay.
You hit the baseball, you hit the ball, and if it went over one of the buildings, home run, you get to stay in.
Yep.
But if somebody catch it, you're out.
There you
almost
go.
Like baseball,
yeah,
but
right. Yeah.
A little bit technical. Some odds and ends thing, other than you didn't run a base.
Okay, that's my kind of baseball.
Yeah. No, that's where my home run hitters were.
We had a Napier Community Center that was like a second home for me.
Okay.
I learned to swim.
Yeah.
I really wasn't on too many teams, but I might try volleyball and I wasn't that good, but I was a manager for the basketball teams at McGavick and stuff like that. So,
and back in the day, maybe even still today, McGavick is a massive school, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, McGavick is huge.
Yeah.
My freshman year, older kids that I knew from the area, well, I'm inside the classroom, and I was walking out the doorway. And my friends walked by and said, Doris, you know where your next class at? I said, yeah. But I walked farther on out the door, and I looked around the, and I said, no. No, I don't. But there's a thing about McGavick. It's colored with walls. If you can remember your colors on the wall.
That's how you get around.
That's
the
how you can get around.
It makes
the
sense because I know it's like the size of a college campus.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
It's
a big school.
Okay.
So,
I marched in marching band.
There we go.
You marched in the marching band. Tell me what you played.
I was a color guard.
Color guard. Okay. Nice. What the flags and the
rifles.
Sorry. Don't laugh at me, Sammy. I've never been in the color guard. My school didn't have a marching band.
See?
Oh.
I've never been to my college didn't have a marching band. I've never been to
West, you lived in West Nashville, man.
I went to Hume Fog.
You did, yeah.
Oh, Hume Fog didn't have any room for a marching band.
Man,
right up and down Broadway. We didn't have anywhere to march.
It's funny. Good point right there. So Hume Fog they were Hume Fog when you were in high school.
Yes. Yeah, they were. I don't know if they were a magnet school, but they were called Hume Fog, I believe.
I'm not telling Doris's age.
Because I think
that.
Cameron. Okay.
I'm not doing
wait,
that.
Wait, are you trying to tell me my age now? Mm-hmm. I'm 54.
There you go.
But I think Hume Fog was not, or they were like working on it. It was more. I think they was working on him. Oh,
okay. It could be. I don't know.
What about MLK? That was the old Pearl, right? Yeah. Because if I remember correctly, their Pearl Cone, where it is now, they used to just be Cone Adult, right?
Right.
And then MLK was Pearl High before it was MLK. I don't know what year.
MLK, you... For years, set. Oh, empty.
Empty. Got you. There we go.
Whatever Hume Fog did, MLK did it years after that.
Because Pearl on Charlotte, that's where. What was that? Pearl or Cone?
That was Pearl.
Charlotte. Yeah, that was Pearl on Charlotte. That's right. Okay. Yeah.
That's where they was. Gotcha. That's right.
I see. That's over there in West Nashville.
Yeah. He talked about it. Right. So 15, 20 years on the east side now. A lot has changed. Have you always been in the same spot?
Same spot.
And you've watched, I mean, I've been here my whole life, but you've watched all of it change just right around you. How does it make you feel? I mean, obviously you haven't moved, so they don't bother you that much.
Well.
I'm joking.
I know how to handle that situation. Yep. If you asked me since I hadn't moved, that
the neighborhood's changing.
Yes, it has changed. I like change. Change sometimes change is good. Sometimes it's a little bit too much all at one time when they want to change.
Sure.
I was when you say change, and now it's like when I walk out the door and I look to the left and I see that church and it's just tore up. And
that's East End Methodist, right? Is that what
East? The East End
Methodist Church. Yeah, right. To see it, but I like the change. It's a few people in the neighborhood feel that my area where I live feel that they don't really want us over there. I understand it. Yeah, I understand. It's some things that goes on over in my area will make you question, but it doesn't warrant.
It doesn't warrant destruction.
Right. It doesn't warrant you calling the cops just because I'm busy and I don't have time to move a couch. Or something that like one I don't know how to like a trailer like
yeah.
a hitch the yeah. something that you sure. hitch yeah. that you can actually leave right there on the street part if it's properly mounted and everything. Yeah. Why would you call the cops? That's the only thing that really ticks me off about.
Has it been that way ever since you've been there?
Yeah. One of them told me, you sure you want me to tell you? Say this.
Please. You tell whatever you say. Sammy can always cut it out if she needs to.
I had one woman actually tell me that the apartment that the place that I live at, that they was trying to purchase that building. And if they had bought it, they would have found me somewhere else to move. Mm. And I looked at her and I said, so are you telling me that you don't want me over to live here? And if you own it, you don't want me living here? Or you don't want none of us living here. Okay. Because I will go further. Most of the people that lives where I live, we're all disabled. Mm. So we don't really work. No, normal work.
Sure.
So, but yeah. But I will say that my landlord, his wife, reason why they wasn't able to buy the house, his wife is a locator. So that means that she knows before everybody else know when something is coming up on auction. That's why they did not. But they have a problem with us living there.
Okay.
And I don't.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being single. We're being singled out.
Okay.
if you would drive there, I really feel that he has cameras and it's angled towards where I live at, facing where I live at.
Yeah.
Why would you monitor something that you don't own? He has my landlord scared because he wants to threaten codes and about codes and stuff on them, or, you know, just threaten them about something. And it makes me really, right now, it makes me feel that I can't really trust my own landlord because I feel that he would side with these people that live in his house. I do understand property taxes and stuff going on, but there's none of that going over there in my area. But if you have a problem with just seem like us just walking out the door and just standing there, next thing you know, cops coming. That's not bad. I mean,
when we first started talking about literally the size of the streets, that's not the size of the streets coming together.
Right.
No.
I mean, and you experienced that early on living in project housing, or public housing rather, at J.C. Napier. And now, at the age of 24, you're still experiencing now. And what we would think, you know, obviously in East Nashville is a fairly affluent neighborhood, but, you know, and that's why we have the podcast, is to find out, not to find out any digs on anybody, but to understand our neighborhood. Because as David mentioned in the beginning, everybody has value over here. And like David said, Miss Doris is all I talk about. That's it, you know, and knowing that, that hurts me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, one of the things that we talk about a lot, not just you and I, Gooch, but anybody I talk to in East Nashville, if you say, what do you love about East Nashville? It's, oh, I love the diversity, racial diversity and socioeconomic diversity and diversity of experience and diversity of thought. It seems like the more popular this community gets, the more we're forcing that diversity out. The things that make East Nashville what it is, we're losing it. And some of it, like you said, there's property tax stuff. There's gentrification. There's when it comes down to it, there's opportunities to make money. At the end of the day, if we continue down the path that you're talking about, is it safe to say East Nashville loses its soul? It loses what makes it unique and wonderful and beautiful?
I mean, I do think, too, though, you know, to that point, we, you know, and we've done a couple interviews now, and we've gotten a bunch of different sides.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why we have it, right? So, and we've, you know, Doris and I joke about it all the time, like I said before, and she's laughing. I mean, man, I do miss, especially as a kid, sitting on the front porch. And I had no idea the stuff that I was listening to from my grandparents. But even when I pull up to Doris's house and we're just standing on the sidewalk, it just feels the same. Or if we're sitting on the back, Patty,
she is just your much wiser older sister.
She's right? My older sister. Yeah. Yep. Or if we're sitting on the patio at East Nashville Athletics down at Shelby Park in the back grilling, you know, we get our stories in, man. And it's funny because Doris loves my kids. My kids love her, but we see kids come through there a lot, not naming any names. Mm-hmm. And they act a complete fool. Running around, doing whatever.
Well, you bring up a really good point, Gooch. We've had a bunch of these conversations, and you do see a lot of different sides.
Yeah.
And it's a reminder that this is not a math problem to be solved. It's not, you know, here's the problem, here's the solution, you do that and everything's fixed. It's so multifaceted and multi-layered and complicated, and you layer lives on top of lives, and as you peel some of that back, it's hard.
It's hard.
We want it to be easy. You know, we see there's a problem and we want there to just be a solution. And guys like myself, as my wife tells me all the time, that's the way we look at everything. Just a problem to be fixed. Oh, well, there's the issue. Here's the solution. And it's done. Check. But this isn't one of those situations.
No, absolutely not.
No. There are all kinds of sides, and there's all kinds of thoughts, and there's all kinds of ideas, and none of them are easy.
No.
And none of them are perfect.
So, Doris, being that you've been here now, like we said, 20 years, what or how, I mean, I talk to you just about every day. How can we, as a unit, help serve you, help keep you motivated, keep the confidence up, keep the smile going, make you feel like, you know, maybe we are trying to attempt to make some change. How can we make you feel better? What can we do? And it's not, you know, not just isolated on you.
What
can we do to make our community more, if it's not complete, more complete? How can we make the streets, how can we make people come across the street in your mind?
Other than mainly what I just said earlier is, I'm not just saying be down every door over there or every door.
That would just definitely raise some eyebrows if I started doing that.
But just at least one person, just one person, just one person. It's all it, like they say, it all takes one person just to reach out and say, hey, like when Dude say he received texts, I send a lot of texts out to a lot of different people.
Not that special.
Yeah. Well,
it's not just
him. Well, you are special, but
just not that special.
But you know, I send out just to say thinking about you. Oh,
man. What makes you do that? Where does that come from?
My heart.
Yeah.
Who does that for you, Miss Doris?
We love you. I love you.
Thank you.
A lot. And we got you. We didn't mean to make you come here and cry.
It was good therapy.
So this is your therapy session.
That's right. We won't send you a bill here in a couple weeks.
I really honestly do need
So here at our church, we talk a lot about being seen and being loved, reminding each other that you're loved, you're seen, and you're not by yourself, you're not alone. How can we make you feel seen? We love you and we see you and we want you to know that. And Is it a text message to say, hey, I'm thinking about you today?
Yeah.
Dinner invitation.
That would mean the world to me.
Yeah.
Because it makes me think that no matter what you have going on in your life.
Yeah.
Even me.
Well, I can tell you this. Just getting to sit in this room with you for an hour, it's going to be a long time before I'm not thinking about you.
Mm.
I'm grateful for you.
Thank you. I'm grateful for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a lot to learn from you.
We got to keep Doris around.
We should.
We got to hang out with Doris more.
Sammy, do we have any more mics? We're just going to keep her up here every time.
We should just add a fourth mic.
Every time we bring somebody in, just keep by the end.
We'll have a room full of people. We'll be out in the courtyard recording this. But Doris has to stay.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
I I want to say thank you for having me here. And I'm sorry for being so emotional.
No, there is nothing to apologize for.
No.
But when, like I say, these tears, they're mainly joy. They're mainly tears of joy because when I look back, when I look back about my life, I know it was the grace of God that's keeping me here. Because I know, and certain people, I'm a firm believer. When God put people, certain people in your life for a reason, and I love that. Because each and every time that I'm going through a struggle, them people are there for me. And I thank God for this form because I know it's many days I want to wake up and I don't want to wake up. It's many a days that my mother died that I would gladly change places with him.
Ms. Doris, do me a favor. Look at that good-looking man to your left. He has told me 100 times he is who he is partially because of you.
Yeah.
You did that. And there's so much more you're going to do.
For real. Vice versa. I guess my whole life, I want to say is I just want to make sure a person I've been through. Please forgive me. I've been through hell in my life.
Yeah.
And I've been through some things that most people have never been through. I have seen things and experienced things. But I'm glad I experienced them.
Yeah.
I have to say that through the grace of God, he has brought me this far.
I'm sad that you had to experience and witness some of the things you experienced and witnessed. I'm grateful that through your strength and the strength God has given you, it has made you into the person you are today so that you can make people like Gooch and myself into the people that we are today, and we can continue to follow.
Amen.
And we can continue to learn.
Doris, you're amazing. My girl.
I second that. You are amazing.
Always.
Thank you.
We appreciate you and we love you. You know, I love you.
I appreciate y'all. This heart got a heart for me to hear. Because sometimes I feel like I don't deserve it. Isn't that off? But then when I think about it, I know I do.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right. Of course you do.
I'm sorry, y'all.
You
I
have
didn't
not,
know I was going to come and be a crybaby.
You have not one thing to apologize for.
Don't apologize for crying.
No,
not at all.
Gosh, I'm so grateful I've gotten to spend some time with you today.
Absolutely.
If you had one chance to tell everybody in East Nashville one thing, what would you tell them? What would you say?
One thing, I don't know how to talk, just say just one thing.
she got a couple.
this is my hope and my prayer. People are going to listen to this conversation we had today, and they're going to see you down at the ball field, and they're going to see you down at the ball field. And they're going to say, Ms. Doris, I love you. And I'm grateful for you.
Well, that's the one thing that I would say. I love them. But that's not one.
Yeah.
Love.
Amen. That's good.
Love.
Thank you so much for your time today. Awesome. It's been awesome. I look forward to future conversations with you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.